Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we are going to focus on our gospel lesson, which focuses on one of the most important cities, maybe the most important city in all of history, and that is the city of Jerusalem. Jesus focuses on Jerusalem. That's where he's been heading this entire time, and today he's going to lament over Jerusalem, over what Jerusalem has missed out on. Now, the name Jerusalem means city of peace. And of course, Salem means, from the Hebrew word shalom, which means peace. But that name is, well, of course, Jerusalem has been anything but a city of peace for a long time. There's been so much war and bloodshed, battles and terrorism, even to this very day, even to this very century. There has been so many battles over the city of Jerusalem. And that's because it's an important city. As I said, maybe the most important city in history. Certainly the most important city, biblically speaking. But, of course, what we see it better as is three different kinds of cities. Number one, it is the city of sorrows. Jesus weeps over Jerusalem, much as Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, wept over Jerusalem some 500 and some 600 years earlier. 586 BC, when Jerusalem fell, and Jeremiah wrote a book about that called Lamentations. Of course, lamentation means to be sad, to weep. It is perhaps the saddest book in the Bible, one of the most tragic stories and histories that you could ever read. It's a devastating and terribly sad book to read, but it, of course, gets across the horrors of living during the siege of Babylon. Now, the truly tragic thing about that siege is it didn't have to happen. See, Jeremiah, the prophet, had brought God's word to people and said, hey, listen, unless you change, judgment is coming. You need to repent. But the people refused. They hated Jeremiah. They hated Jeremiah's message, which means they rejected God's message. Instead, they mocked him, hated him, they arrested him, and they threatened his life. They did all of these things to him because they hated the message that he brought to them. Jerusalem weeps bitterly in the night with tears on her cheeks. She has none to comfort her. Lamentations 1 verse 2. The city would fall to the Babylonians in 586 BC, and Jeremiah would be alive to witness that falling. And it would be a very sad, sad day. Jesus weeps for Jerusalem like Jeremiah did. He gives his own lament. Jesus loves Jerusalem. Jesus loves God's people. Of course, they're his people. He loves them with all his heart. And like Jeremiah, what he wanted to see the people of Jerusalem do more than anything else is repent and turn back to the Lord. But they continually would not. Luke 13:34. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under a wing? And you were not willing. You would not. Like Jeremiah, Jesus has been rejected time and time again by his people. He longed to protect him the way a mother hen protects her chicks, but they were not willing. They didn't want Jesus there. They rejected him, and they rejected God's word. Of course, that's nothing new. People today still do that, don't they? We preach and teach God's word, and people continue to mock it or reject it. They continue to call it old-fashioned or out of date, no longer something we need to hear. But it doesn't stop the truth of God's word. God continues to show his love and his mercy towards people, and his word continues to be preached. Many believe, but many also don't. They bring sorrow and misery into their own life through their rejection of God's word. Jerusalem is the city of sorrows, but number two, it's also the city of blood. Why do I call it the city of blood? Well, it was the place where God's temple was built. Solomon built the original temple about, oh, I don't know, 1,000 years before Jesus. A house to the Lord in Jerusalem, the city that David himself founded. And it would become the place where sacrifices would be made. The Bible clearly teaches that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins, Hebrews 9:22. And with that in mind, that is why the people sacrificed all sorts of different animals, oxen and bulls and turtle doves and pigeons and even and especially lambs. Especially when it came to Passover, they would sacrifice their lambs. That was a command from the Lord, and the Passover lamb would be a tradition that was started by Moses that would last for 1400 years. There would be one lamb, perfect lamb, without spot or blemish, that would be sacrificed for each family. So you can imagine, by Passover at Jesus' time, there would be thousands and thousands of lambs. Now, where did they get all those lambs? Some of them brought them with them, to be sure, but many of them bought them when they were there. Where did they raise all those lambs? Well, you remember there's good pasture land near Jerusalem? It's in a place you might have heard of called Bethlehem. Lots of the lambs that were used for the Passover sacrifices were lambs that were born, fed, raised in Bethlehem. Of course, at Passover, it was a time for sacrifices, and rivers of blood would run out of the temple. It would be a great sacrifice. And on Passover, the lambs would be sacrificed. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Jesus is going to Jerusalem. He will go to Jerusalem. The Pharisees warn him, don't go to Jerusalem. The Pharisees warn him, but he understands he needs to go to Jerusalem in order to die. That's where prophets go their way to die. Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem. Luke 13:33. Jesus is going to Jerusalem, but he's going for a specific purpose: to die. He is the true Passover lamb who is going to be sacrificed for this ultimate Passover. He enters Jerusalem on the 10th of Nisan, which is, according to the Bible, Lamb Selection Day, the day that the perfect lamb would be selected, the one that would be sacrificed. And of course, the sacrifice would happen on that Passover during the ninth hour. You know, God's people rejected Jesus the same way they rejected Jeremiah. And just as God's people would sacrifice their lambs, Jesus would be sacrificed that particular Passover. He is the true Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one who sheds his blood. He is a lamb without blemish or defect. He is the one who has paid for our sins, not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. He is the perfect lamb from the fields of Bethlehem who comes into Jerusalem to shed his blood for God's people. Specifically, the lambs were sacrificed at the ninth hour, 3 o'clock, which is the exact moment when Jesus cried out, "It is finished, and Father, into your hands I commend my spirit," and gave up his spirit. At that very time, all over, lambs were being slaughtered. The lamb was being slaughtered for the Passover feast. Jesus is the true Passover lamb who sheds his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Jerusalem is, number one, the city of sorrows, number two, the city of blood. Number three, it is also the city of victory. Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. 1 Corinthians 15, 20, and 21. Of course, this entire event doesn't end on Good Friday. In fact, what happens next 3 days later? Jesus Christ on Easter Sunday rises from the dead. The city of blood becomes the city of victory the day after Passover. The day after Passover is the festival of first fruits. And that's why Paul makes reference to first fruits in 1 Corinthians 15. Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. Jesus Christ conquered death, but not just for himself. It's not just his personal victory. No, Christ's victory is our victory. That's why Paul talks about first fruits. He's not the last person to be raised from the dead. He is the first person to rise from the dead because many more will follow him. We too will be raised because Christ's tomb is empty. One day our tomb will be empty. He is the first of those who have come before him. If Christ has not been raised, our faith is futile and our faith is in vain. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. And of course, God has prepared for his people a new city, a new place for them to live. Not the old Jerusalem, not the city of sorrows, the city of bloodshed, not the city where the Passover lamb was sacrificed. No, God has prepared for us, his people, a new Jerusalem. This new Jerusalem is superior to the old Jerusalem in every way possible. It is more beautiful. It shines with the glory of God, and its brilliance is like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. But even more importantly is what happens in the new Jerusalem. The Lamb will be the center. The Lamb will be its light. And the old order of things will have passed away. Remember, Jerusalem, the old Jerusalem, was a place of war and bloodshed. That's not to do. Nothing happening like that in the new Jerusalem. No, there is nothing but the peace and joy and love of Christ. There is no more death or mourning, crying or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. We give thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ, who entered Jerusalem to be our Passover lamb, to be the one who shed his blood so that we might enter the new Jerusalem and live there forever. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.